Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on January 20th of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to, once again, as usual, talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, some of which airs on Toonami, most of which is anime. Okay, yep. So I guess we can jump straight into it with Attack on Titan Episode 62, which is mostly Reiner having a bunch of flashbacks. Some of it is actually new information that does give some information as to his motivations and stuff. But unfortunately, a bunch of it is mostly telling us stuff we knew, and unfortunately doing it in such a way that doesn't make much sense unless you actually remember all the stuff it's referencing.
Yeah, I was a little overwhelmed by all that.
Yeah, there, like, what a lot of it really does, like, the part where one of their companions, because they get to the island, because they're all part of that, like, plan to try to, you know, retake the founding Titan or whatever, and then one of them gets eaten by this random Titan that was around. And that was Ymir, but the episode doesn't really mention that. So if you forgot that plot point, which was last mentioned, I don't know, 40 episodes ago?
Mm-hmm.
Now, more like 30 probably. But unless it was that far, you remembered that, you wouldn't remember that. So that was mostly the episode. And then there was some stuff with Falco talking with one of the wounded soldiers at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any thing you wanted to say about it?
No, not really.
Okay.
It was a so-so episode.
Okay. Yeah, there is something to mention, but it's kind of a spoiler, but we find out really soon, so I can discuss it then.
Okay, that's fine. We'll wait for that.
Looking at it, yeah, no, I think it's next episode that we find out, so...
Yeah, just wait a week, and we'll find out.
Okay, so that was episode 60... Two, then we're on Sword Art Online episode 95, this was an episode where if you have not watched all this arc, you will probably be very confused, and since I have not watched all this arc, I was very confused. I understood this because I looked it up, but the main bad guy apparently dies, and then some person who he killed in the past shows up and just kind of goes, "No, we can be together forever," and just drags his soul off or something, which is weirdly existential for Sword Art Online. Weirdly, not existential, supernatural for Sword Art Online. That's what, yeah. I would be. And it doesn't, and I'm also wondering, because I saw a bunch of people saying this, they were wondering, wait, how did he die?
And what was the answer?
I don't know, I just saw some people wondering that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see maybe someone did give them an answer since then, but, So then there's a bunch of other stuff that happened. The important thing is that it seems like the good guys managed to win, and Asuna and Kirito are like, well, we're here for 200 years, but whatever, we're together. Which actually makes me suddenly come to think about it. So when Kirito comes back and stuff, when you think about it, I guess from an out-of-universe perspective, it's not as big of a thing. But he spent years here without Asuna. You'd think their reunion, it seems like it wasn't played for as big of a thing as it really was.
Yeah, really. And I just have to wonder, like, he's going to stay there 200 years. Like, what are the rules about that? Okay. Like, does he still need to, like, eat and survive out in the virtual world, eat virtual food or something? I'm just trying to figure out how he can make it 200 years. And by the way, that means his body, doesn't that mean his body's sitting there for 200 years? I mean, I'm totally confused.
So basically what's happening, the reason they take that whole 200 years thing is because of the fact that, so before the virtual world was set to be going way faster than normal time, but then technobabble happened so that it was started being exactly with in time with us. Like 1 minute there meant 1 minute in the real world because, well, that made for, you know, better, you know, drama and stuff. But then more technobabble happened. And that's making it so that it's going to start going by super fast. And that's why they were saying, well, 200 years, because time is passing in the virtual world way, way, way faster than in the real world, that the short amount of time that it would take to be able to get them out would equate to 200 years in the world.
I see. Makes sense now. Okay.
So that's why they were saying that stuff. But yeah, honestly, it was. I mean, the stuff with Asuna and Kirito, it's like, oh, that's kind of cute. I actually like that. But the rest of the episode, I mean, I can't really get mad angry at a show for the fact it's relying on me to know stuff I didn't watch. But it still made it so that most of the episode was just, oh, hey, I guess we're solving these plot points that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you did, but it wasn't bad either.
Okay. Also, did I say this was episode 95? It was actually 94. I want to make sure I get these episodes right.
Because if you don't get them right, then that means that I'll end up watching the same episode as I did last week. And I'll be totally lost. Didn't that happen once whenever I watched the exact same episode we had watched the week before? And I was like, boy, is this boring. And it was because I was watching the same episode as the week before.
Was that My Hero Academia,
I think that was? I'm not sure.
This might have... Well, I don't think it was by an accident. I think it might... If that happened, and I can't remember, that might have been the part where they were rerunning stuff because they didn't have enough dubbed episodes at that point, and you didn't know that it was a repeat and watched it. Mm-hmm. That might have been what happened.
Yeah.
I always remember... There was this time I was listening to this pod... there's some podcasts I listen to, and there's one, and normally what happens is after I like finish an episode, I just like, okay, I mean, I have them all on like a playlist combined with some music. So, you know, it's all randomized and and then it'll just come up to the episodes and I listen to them. And if there's one where there's more, you know, I like delete that, get the next one. One of them I forgot. So I was listening to the same episode again, and it took me about like 20 minutes to realize, oh wait, I already listened to this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that happen before too, so don't feel bad.
Okay. So yeah, that was Sword Art Online. We don't really I know you aren't watching Fire Force anymore. I've been just kind of loosely watching it. I only mention this just because there were two funny, two interesting things in the episode. I remember there's a part where the character Arthur, you know, the one who's obsessed about being a knight, is able to like perfectly rattle off pie. And he explains, oh, well, it's because I needed to know the legend of circumference, which he thought was like some kind of knight, you know, sir space conference.
By the way, do we ever figure out why the number pi was important in Tales of the Abyss? Remember that? It was like something about the number pi was going to be a plot point somewhere in Tales of the Abyss. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back before we watched it, and we were looking up stuff on it, and it said something about that the value of pi was going to play a big part in the show, or at least in the game.
Well, I don't remember that. The main thing I remember about pi in video games was, well, this is the sort of thing that you wouldn't know by playing the game unless you were, like, really keeping track of it. But in The World Ends With You, there's this one sort of somewhat math-obsessed, boss. You fight him twice. The first time you fight him, his HP is 3,141, or 3,141. And then the second time you fight him, his HP is 5,926, 5,926. And pi, of course, is, well, still rounded, 3.1415926. So that was kind of cute, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the other thing is that there's also a JoJo reference where someone does the aura, aura, aura thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, other than that, I can't remember a thing about this episode. I kind of want there. I don't really like, it's weird because we weren't into it, and then started watching it, and then we were thinking, oh, this is actually a lot more interesting. And then this arc started and completely lost us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, needs more evil Kuniko. I'm not even really counting that as us discussing it, but so we've got Assassination Classroom episode 18. So they come up with their big plan to assassinate Koro-sensei, which begins by forcing him to watch an hour-long documentary of all the perversions that they've caught him doing. Which was to make him depressed and easier to attack.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it seems to do great, except then Koro-sensei reveals his secret weapon. The series isn't over yet. So he turns out to have this super durable form that he was able to activate, which leaves him unable to attack, but also unable to be harmed. You know, kind of like that thing Mayuri did in Bleach in his first fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then everyone gets poisoned by some bad guys who want them to hand over Koro-sensei. So, and they're like, we probably can't trust him. So, all right, it's time to try to get the poison resistance stuff from them and, deal with the villains.
Yeah. I thought Koro-sensei was the villain.
Well, the villains of this arc, at least.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with this show because it's getting more, like, I know it was a stretch to try to believe what was going on in the first place, but now it's become just ridiculous because it's like Kuro Sensei somehow can lose all his tentacles and all this stuff. All they had to do was shoot him, and but somehow he I don't believe anymore that there's anything more than just plot armor protecting Kuro Sensei, and that's all he's got. And that makes me lose interest in the entire plot of having to, you know, assassination part of the classroom. So all we got left of it is just classroom because we don't have an assassination. So, I don't know. I don't really like it right now. That's all.
Well, I enjoyed it personally. It just, it is true that it is kind of a, well, I just whipped this out because look, the series isn't over yet. So I got to have an out to this, but, that joke aside, I mean, it did at least mention there was the weakness that he can't attack and that there was a possibility of shooting him into space. But then he mentions, well, in the amount of, you aren't going to be able to do it that quickly with this. And it at least mentioned, well, there was a possible way to take him out before that thing could take effect. But the focus has shifted. Now it's trying to get the antidote to help the people and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So we got that. So that was Assassination Classroom. And then we've got SSSS Gridman Episode 2. So no one remembers. So they find out no one remembers anything about the attack. They come across another guy who helps them out to make it's so that the others can see and hear Gridman. It turns out that one of the people at their school was actually behind the attack, and I guess they're going to be like the villain of the series, well, at least for now. So they decide to, because they're angry at this teacher, to send a monster off to kill them, but the good guys manage to stop that, and then every thing gets reset again, apparently.
Yeah. I was going to... There was a good joke to be made there that all the characters don't remember anything and we don't remember anything either because the first episode was so boring. So, this episode had that girl like whining the entire time for some reason. And I couldn't quite figure out why she was acting like that. But this episode, it was so-so. And I think that I'm going to end up dropping this eventually. We'll see how long I last watching it.
Well, I definitely think it was better than the first episode. I actually did kind of like the villain character. It did seem very much of the kind, well, the sort of thing you would see on the Power Rangers. You know, the villain was just kind of out there, and then they send the monsters to attack them and stuff. But so that was kind of entertaining. I mean, a lot of the villains in Power Rangers were kind of entertaining. Let's see,
actually, to be honest, I was not allowed to watch Power Rangers.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, really.
I can't remember if my parents didn't want me to watch it. I know there was some stuff that I know they didn't want me to watch X-Men.
I wasn't allowed to watch X-Men, wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. Let's see, what else? Beetlejuice. Man, pretty much anything popular I was not allowed to watch. It wasn't until, like, I wasn't even allowed to watch certain episodes of Pokemon because anytime there would be psychic powers, I wasn't allowed to watch Pokemon. So, yeah. which is why I rebelled and became one of a psychic trainer. In every game now, psychic is always my main thing because of my rebellion.
I'm just trying to remember. I know X-Men was the big one they didn't want me to watch, but I'm not sure if there's much else. I'm trying to remember what other stuff. I can't remember about Power Rangers, but I was never that interested in Power Rangers as a kid because, like I said, it was so repetitive and there was never any continuity. Like I said, I liked some of the later seasons. When I was an adult, I liked Power Rangers more than when I was a kid. Because, like I said, the later seasons had a greater degree of continuity and stuff. Rancic from Power Rangers Time Force was cool. I liked him. Vengix was cool from Power Rangers RPM. Some of the other ones were okay. Those are like the big sort of standout villains, I thought. Actually, Rancic was I haven't seen the movie, but the guy who played him, he was, I think, the main antagonist in one of the Mad Max movies. Yeah, Vernon Wells. Which one was he was in he was in Mad Max. He was in Mad Max 2. He was he wasn't the main antagonist, but he was one of the antagonists in it. So he was a pretty notable actor to be the main villain in a Power Rangers series. Let's see. One other comment I had, because I can't remember the context it was said, but a character in here says that this is out of character for you. And I noted that because that same line was used in Sword Art Online in the same week. Okay. So, all right. So we got, that, that's our Toonami, stuff. We can, get to episode 16 of Yashahime. I can't remember. Were you doing the Yashahime recaps, or was I?
You took over about 10 episodes in.
Okay, sure. I can continue. So in this one, it's a flashback. We find out about Moraha, somewhat. Her master, the one who was teaching her stuff, basically pawns her off to that, bounty collector guy to get money. I'm not sure exactly how that works. You can just transfer your debt like that somehow?
Yeah, that did not make sense to me. I was like, is he being sold into like slave labor? I don't really understand.
Anyway, so she does that to get a bunch of money so that she can try to remove the cursed armor has. But then all the people who made the thing that would fix it for her get killed off by, I can't remember, the guy who's like the villain of the series at the moment, it seems. So she and Moraha fight, except this switches. How exactly did that fight go? Moraha gets some super activated power thing, And the master person tries to take out the villain, to maneuver the villain so that he gets hit by it, but he doesn't. So it just hits her. So she's, so she dies, and she's just like, yeah, whatever. kind of like the audience, considering she was never seen before this episode.
Yep, and never seen again.
Basically the episode.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this. I was under the impression that they were like selling Moira off as like slave labor, and I'm like, this really isn't appropriate for the audience they're going after. And then it was basically like Moroha, she was basically, learning a new technique like Inuyasha always would, like every like 25 episodes or so, Inuyasha would learn a new technique. So that's basically what happened here. And then we had a supposedly touching moment between her and her master, but like you said, she only showed up this episode and probably won't again because they don't want to pay the voice actor to do any more episodes. And it was like, well, that didn't really affect me emotionally. I was like, okay, we met her, but I don't really have any attachment to her. So, I was really disappointed with this episode. I was hoping we would continue with what we had gotten last week, and it was going to continue like that. I was under the impression that we were going to, find out more about the backgrounds of the characters, but no, we are back to what we were before. So yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be getting some stuff on Moroha's backstory. To be fair, we did get some. We found out how she got all the debt, which again, still doesn't, I mean, like, she basically just saddled her with the debt, and I'm just like, can you do that? I mean, maybe you could in Japan at that period, but it seems sort of weird. I was just more confused, wondering, because Moroha got sent to, like, Koga's wolf tribe, but so then she just gets randomly, like, with this person? How do we get from that point to this? I was expecting we see a lot more of what her earlier life was like, but we really didn't.
I'm hoping they go back, but it doesn't look like that's what they're gonna do. I don't know.
We'll probably get more eventually, but
yeah, they're gonna make us wait.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly this thing is going to be 52 episodes. They gotta pad stuff out.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we have Ghost in the Shell, episode 43. So in order to try to investigate the information about Kuze, Major goes over to Taiwan to investigate it. But then that whole plot ends up being kind of forgotten pretty quickly, as she instead just ends up saving this kid from this sort of like gang war, and then kind of gets caught up into that that whole thing by trying to help him out, and get out of the whole thing. And that's basically the episode.
Yeah, I was interested in what they were originally going to do, and then this whole thing with this kid came up, and I was like, it felt to me like an episode of Michiko and Hatchin, where, you had the, it was like a bait and switch type of thing. It was supposed to be about one thing, and it ended up acting about something totally different. So, yeah, I was disappointed. I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere with this plot. And then this kid, and you knew whenever she saved that kid that he wasn't just going to go away. You knew he was going to hang around for the rest of the episode. So I guess this counts as one of their standalone episodes. I don't know.
There's also that weird thing where they're like in the hotel or whatever. She just comes out of the shower and like she's just wearing and she's just like wearing underwear, like there's also that she's also got this towel around her neck that of course like conveniently just covers up the like the specific parts of the body you gotta cover up.
Yeah.
And it's just like weird that she's just like, you know, kind of talking to him like that. And I'm like, okay, it's not weird that she would do that. She's like, we know that she just doesn't care about that sort of thing. What's weird to me is that the kid has no reaction whatsoever to it.
Well, didn't he ask, like, can prosthetic bodies have sex? And she said, want to find out? Remember that?
Yeah, that was also weird, but that was late. But that was later. I'm just saying that he has no reaction whatsoever to the factors that she's basically just, you know, sitting there completely topless. And there's never any like weird sort of feeling of awkwardness on his part, which struck me as a little weird.
Yeah, my question is, like, did she demonstrate with him, or was that just a one-liner just to make us laugh?
That was, he asks her kind of out of curiosity. He goes, would you like to find out? And he's like, never mind. Clearly her answer was just basically a way to like, you know, say, to like make him drop the subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I recognized his I was trying to figure out where his voice. I heard his voice before, so I looked at him. I'm like, oh wow, that's Izzy from Digimon.
Mm. I own Digimon. I want to watch it sometime, but I have put it off for way too long. I'll have to get that out and watch that sometime. Here's the reason why, because a lot of the fan fiction writers from like my era, well, you were part of that era too. Our era, we were, you know, like whenever we were writing, it was all, but Digimon was like one of the most, popular things. So whenever I look at fan fiction from the people who were from my era, well, they have lots of Digimon characters and I don't know what they're talking about. So I need to watch that show in order to figure out these characters. So I know stuff about them. So I got to do that sometime. It probably won't be something as part of this podcast. It would just be me watching that on my own, but I definitely want to do that in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily mind joining in. I haven't seen the show in forever.
Yeah.
I assume we're talking first season, which, yeah. How long? Oh yeah, that's a long one. The first season is 54 episodes.
Yeah.
And then it, yeah, is it the original dub you have or yeah. Like?
Oh, you know what? I would bet it was the original one, but I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know if there was like a redub or anything. I was just like wondering if we would be watching it Japanese or dubbed. Because
no,
we should watch.
Go ahead.
We should watch it dubbed. There's like some stuff. The English dub just had some characters like be obvious. Like the way they talk would be like an obvious reference to like someone famous. Like this one villain like talks like just like Elvis for the stereotype of Elvis, for example.
Mm-hmm. Do they have like an Osaka character who talks in a southern accent?
There is, actually, I think.
Yeah, I was watching that one Spiral show, and they had like a bunch of characters who talked in Southern accents. And I was like, okay, so that they must be from Osaka.
Yeah, I never actually paid any attention to like Digimon fan fiction, but I do know it was one of those series where like people argue. I at least know is one that people argued about ships and stuff, especially for the second season where it had a bigger focus on that. And then some characters just like seem to get together almost at random in the final episode.
Yeah.
I mean, like some of them you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Those two, there was like clear setup for that one. And there's just like, wait, why are those two characters together?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the second season. The second season actually does continue from the first season, even if it's like got a lot of the same characters and stuff. Then the third is just an alternate continuity, and I don't know about the later ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like thinking that was Izzy on Digimon, and I also looked at it was Lombada from Bobobo. Now that I think about it, yeah, their voices were kind of similar. That was like a character. He only really was around, got like speaking stuff for like one or two episodes. But Izzy was a big character in Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honestly, I watched that show a bunch when I was a kid. I can remember how most of the characters sounded. Well, I can remember about half of them did, at least. It's been a very long time since watching it. Yeah, maybe we will check that out sometime. I'd have to check to see if there's a way for me to watch it, but right. So that was, I'd say it's Ghost in the Shell episode 43, but it really was more like Digimon recap, so... You know, I actually, before the show ever came out, I had one of those little, remember like when virtual pets were the biggest thing ever and there was a Tamagotchi? There was one of those that was like the Digimon. It worked just like the Tamagotchi or Tamagotchi, however it's pronounced, where, you know, it like would like, as it would grow older, it would change in form and stuff. And its gimmick, unlike the other ones, was that you could take yours and connect it to a friend's, and then they could have a fight. It was like very primitive stuff. Like the graphics were, from what I recall, like almost on the level of, you know, being Game & Watch. but then again, that was the case for the regular Tamagotchi anyway. So, but yeah, I remember that. I think I've still got it. I never really did much with it. I think I got it in like some sort of contest or something. Not the greatest, or I remember it's because Toonami had some like contest thing, and that was like one of the prizes. You could get one of those things, which I think in retrospect were like what, $5-$10, but I can't remember if I won it there or if I was just so excited by seeing it I went out and bought it.
Oh really?
But yeah, I remember that. That I knew that even before the show ever premiered. So yeah. But yeah, Digimon. I mean, in the anime manga section of fanfiction.net, it's up ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th place.
Yeah, did you know that Inuyasha just recently moved back into second place? Hitalia had overtaken it for second place, and then in the last few months, Inuyasha has roared back to take back second place on fanfiction.net.
Yeah, they are close. I can definitely see that happening. Inuyasha will need to about quadruple its number of fix to overtake Naruto, though.
Yeah.
What?
Go ahead.
Why is Naruto so popular for fan fiction?
I guess because I would predict it's because there's so many possibilities for pairings. So you've got like so many possible combinations you can come up with. Because remember, if it exists, people ship it. So
yeah.
So
I get that. But it seems to me that you can say the same thing for Bleach, and that like as one. And while Bleach is high up, don't get me wrong, it's in fourth place. It's got about a fifth of what Naruto has. So I'm just wondering, what is it that made Naruto? Because I completely understand why Naruto is popular, but it's so much more popular than everything else, which just makes me wonder why it's so high up.
Well, I mean, it kind of has three different series. You know, it's Naruto, and then it's Naruto Shippuden, and then it's Boruto. So that's three series it's got there. So,
well, Shippuden was just Naruto continued. They just retitled it because the series underwent a time skip. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess. I'm going to guess Naruto is probably the best known of them in popular consciousness in English. Of, you know, like Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, all like the super big anime stuff. That's probably the one that's the best known. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, I know it's popular. I know all that stuff. I'm just wondering what made that click to make it so much more than everything else. Actually, the real question is, why is there so much Hitalia fan fiction? Because I know that was really popular for a time, but then it kind of fell off. Whereas these series that have been really popular for longer are nowhere near that amount.
Yeah, there's a one-word answer to that. Yaoi. That's the answer. Yaoi.
Okay, I guess we could, maybe that's it. Although, I mean, I guess you can probably say that's the same for the other series on that. I'm just looking. Why is Katekyo Hitman Reborn is in, like, 14th place? How many people even heard of that?
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
That's 14th place. And okay. So to continue with our fanfic therapy podcast, I'm going to list them from start to from top to bottom, like Naruto, Inuyasha. Okay, really big stuff. Hitalia, yeah, not quite as big, but I remember that was big for a while. Bleach, Yu-Gi-Oh, Fairy Tail, Dragon Ball Z, Full Metal Alchemist, Digimon, Sailor Moon, One Piece, Gundam Wing, Death Note. These are all series that are actually fairly well known. And then suddenly you get Katekyo Hitman Reborn. I don't remember it ever being that popular. And then it's above stuff like Ruby or Attack on Titan, Cardcaptor Sakura, Yu Yu Hakusho. I don't know. Wait, how is My Hero Academia this low?
Well, the other shows have a head start on it, remember? I mean, fanfiction.net has been around since like the internet began, so I mean there's fics on there from the 90s, so My Hero Academia is behind because it's newer.
You know, actually, here's a I know that, but it just seems to me, even considering all of that, it's kind of low. But you know, I think I might have just realized a big reason, because I'm looking at the amount on fanfiction.net, and for a good while, I think fanfiction.net, that was where you put your fanfiction. There wasn't anywhere else. But nowadays, there's a lot more sites. Like, I know a lot of people put stuff on Wattpad, for example.
Yeah.
So that might be a big factor. People's fanfiction are like, they're not just going to fanfiction.net as much, so the newer stuff isn't is getting more split up.
Do you know how many fanfics there are for Shangri-La?
I assume you're about to tell me.
One. One. I wish I could say I was the one who wrote it, but I did not. And it doesn't really, it's not good, so, which isn't a surprise, but it isn't good. So, yeah, unfortunately, Shangri-La, forgotten again.
Yeah, there's just some, I honestly think that probably what I mentioned about the, like, the stuff, there being more websites to put them, I think that's probably a big, I'm going to guess and say that actually is probably a really big reason for it. People just don't put their stuff on fanfiction.net as much, which gives the older series so much of an advantage.
Yep.
Okay. So, we've gotten that. So that was, all right, now let's move on to an actual thing. ReZero episode 41. ReZero, for the record, in case you were wondering, has 345 fanfics on fanfiction.net. Six fewer than Ghost in the Shell.
Wow, it's climbed.
ReZero. So, most of this episode is flashbacks of Amelia when she was a kid.
Yeah.
There is actually a brief bit where you see stuff in the present. I want to mention, just because it specifies something that was kind of ambiguous in the previous episode. Because when at the end of the previous episode, Garfield says something to Subaru about how, oh, I saw that, like, that thing you did. And I'm thinking, oh, wait, he saw Amelia and Subaru kiss? That's, why was he there? Was he there? But this clarifies that he was referring to that big, like, message that Subaru, of encouragement that Subaru wrote for Amelia. And I'm like, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, my biggest problem with this episode is that young Amelia is, like, not even close to normal Amelia. Like, the two are totally different in it. Like, young Amelia, and they don't resemble the same person. Like, the personalities are completely different. And that young Amelia is, like, all getting into trouble and rebellious and all this stuff. And you look at present day Amelia and sees none of those things. And it's like, how did she grow up to be like this? Like, it doesn't really make much sense. So that was my biggest problem with this episode.
Well, I assume we're going to find out in future, in maybe even the next episode, what the reason for that was. Because I get the feeling that things are not going to end particularly well for the people she was living with. So we did a... yeah, so there's, like you were mentioning, all of that kind of stuff. Most of it, I kind of feel like, it's so weird to say this, especially because this is a 29 and a half minute long episode. They don't even have the opening and closing themes. I don't think, have they played them at all in this season so far?
Are there any?
I'm pretty sure there is, because I remember seeing, like, the theme or something. Let me double check on this. Let's see. Yeah, there is an opening theme. I just don't know if we've got, for the second season, I just don't think we've actually seen it, an actual seeing of the stuff yet. We haven't actually seen the opening. I think we've heard some of the music, but we haven't actually seen an opening. Maybe there isn't an opening. I mean, you might as well. I mean, when you think about it, what does an anime opening do? It takes up a minute and a half. You can, like, put a bunch of plot in those a minute and a half.
Yeah,
yeah, why not? You know, that's a question. Why couldn't a regular anime do what Toonami does? Just play the full thing once, and then for later ones, just, like, have an abridged version of it.
Yeah. I wanted to update you on that one Shangri-La fanfic. It doesn't even... I'm reading it right now, and there's nothing about it that makes it from Shangri-La. Like, they just kind of just took their own story and just dropped it in the Shangri-La category. And I don't know what it's supposed to do with the actual show. So you could make an argument that there are zero Shangri-La fanfics in existence.
Well, I'm just more... one thing that I've always been confused about is the fact that that... on fanfiction.net, there's, you know, the crossover stuff. And I have been continually confused to this point that that no one's done a crossover between, what's it called, the Dresden Files and Alex Vruss. I mean, okay, to be fair, Alex Vruss only has 3 fanfics total on there. But I'm just thinking, that's like one of the most obvious crossover things ever. You haven't heard of either of these series, but let me tell you, this is like, so it's one of those things where I am so surprised there wasn't some kind of crossover. I mean, look, there's been at least 2 different crossover fan fictions between the Dresden Files and My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Okay, we can have one with a book series that seems like it would make that's like much more similar. Speaking of which, I still will say that Turnabout Storm, this video series someone did on YouTube, which is this crossover between, well, the aforementioned My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, is, and I don't say this ironically, I'm talking unironically, one of the best crossovers I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, where was I? Right, back to ReZero. So, I think the problem with this is a lot of... I feel they could have cut down on some of the stuff. I'm just kind of like, okay, we get the point you're making about this. Can you get to the... can you get to the part where something big happens? And they're like, yeah, we will! In the last 30 seconds. But hey, I'm interested in the next episode. I do like the fact we are actually... after quite a while, getting some more development on Amelia's past, which once I'm thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, this was more important to learn than Subaru's past, because Subaru's backstory, I mean, it was good to have it so that we know he was more than, just a random guy who got transported. But Amelia's is more plot relevant. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's a little surprising we waited until now to get this stuff. But yeah, I knew this was going to be something like this was going to be happening because I saw one of the covers for one of the later light novels. And it's this like picture of this kind of cute little Amelia with these two people. These two younger people, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to get a flashback of some kind. Okay, was there anything else I wanted to say? Yeah, mostly it really is just flashback stuff with Amelia and Echidna looking on and making some commentary.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right, ReZero. So then we're on to that time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 26. Do you want to do the recap stuff for this?
Yeah, sure. So basically, Rimuru now has to go and to this other kingdom and kind of like smooth things out, make things right between them, and that's what's supposed it's supposed to be about. But the episode ends up being more about Sion getting drunk, and then Rimuru and all the goblins sneaking out and going off the party where Rimuru can get squeezed by all these female goblins, and then
elves.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. And then Sion and what is her name? Can you tell me the pink hair girl's name?
No, I can't remember. Like, she's like the priestess or whatever. I can't remember what her name is, unfortunately.
Okay, I have to look that up. Yeah, but they catch Rimuru, and then there's big thing about that. So that was basically it. It was mainly just humor for this episode, which I thought was pretty good. So that was a pretty good episode, I thought.
Is it Shuna?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay. So I thought the stuff with like the it's so weird to say that the politics was the most interesting part of the episode. For me, I don't know. I just wasn't like the wacky shenanigans with the elves. I was just kind of like, eh. Also, but like some of the like more political stuff was kind of fun. Well, outside of I don't know. I've kind of grown to like Shion less and less. I've just kind of found her more annoying now.
See, I kind of like her more and more as it's going around. Like, originally she just was just another character, and now she's like a comic relief character, and I feel like she is more value to the show than, because let's face it, Rimuru isn't going to lose a battle anytime soon, so we might as well be entertained while we watch.
Fair enough. But let's see. There's a weird sort of line where they're going to the elves, and then he said, and then like, well, the subtitle says, he says, "Hey, E-I-L-F. I mean, elf ladies." So I was like, oh, so was that? I was actually curious. I was like, so how did that? Because, well, I can't really look at the Japanese, so I can't understand that. But I was curious, so I looked to see how the Spanish rendered that. And he was like, you know, he starts saying like, mis queridas ero, but then he like stops and then switches to elf. So I'm going to guess that thing that was supposed to be like, it, what it was cut off was like a word, some like erotic related word or something. So I'm going to guess in all of the languages, there's some gag where he starts to say something more, you know, explicitly sexual, and then switches it to just elf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't huge on that part, but, oh yeah, there actually was that, final bit, that actually probably the most interesting part to me was, I can't remember her name, but one of the villains sent that girl to like try to infiltrate the good guys or something, and then she joins up with some of them and shows that she's a powerful mage and stuff. That actually was kind of interesting. I'm interested to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So that's been our Toonami therapy episodes. So do you want to do the top threes or?
Yeah. Top three. Let's see. I'm trying to think of all the things we watched because we lost a bunch. I'm going to put in third place, Yasuhime. I'm going to put second place, ReZero. And then first place is Slime.
Okay. So for me, I would be putting in for third place, I would say kind of narrowly making onto it, but I'll say Attack on Titan because I actually did. I think this is an episode that I like more because I remember more of the show and it paid more attention. Then for second, it would be Assassination Classroom. And then in first place, it would be ReZero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say this was, I am very glad that watching Attack on Titan unfold as an anime is so much preferable to following it as it came out as a manga because it's weekly instead of monthly and more stuff happens in each episode. Like, okay, I might not be getting the exact on time right, but from what I think, like where we are right now, after these three episodes, it took 6 months for us to get to this point about. When reading the manga, you had to like, so after all that exciting stuff where you're like, oh, what's going to happen to the main characters? And it suddenly focuses on these totally different people. And so you're something like 5 or 6 months in and you're like, when are we going to see them again? But with the anime, you're like, oh, well, we're only 3 episodes in. It's just 3 weeks. No problem. Okay, so that's been our Toonami stuff. You can find our previous episodes, of course, at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. And if you were excited and looking forward to more Star Trek episodes, unfortunately, we kind of have to put that on hiatus, at least for a while.
Yep. Yeah. The Blu-rays didn't work out for me, so yeah.
Also, there's the fact that we're already watching a bunch of stuff, like especially because we added in Slime because it came back, and that just kind of suddenly added an extra thing on top of what was already stretching things a little, at least for me. So in consideration of both of those factors, we're going to be stopping with our rewatch through Star Trek The Next Generation. At least for now. We might bring it back, though, so we'll see. But for now, we're just sticking with, we're going back to just talking about the anime stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. Did you have anything you wanted to add, or are we just cutting it out here?
Yeah, we're cutting it out here.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, me.